Kutcher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let me take off all your clothes.
That's fresh.
Disconnect the phone so nobody knows.
Check it out.
Let me light a candle so that we can make it better. Making love until we drown.
Fresh.
I wanna sex you up. TikTok, you don't stop.
Stop.
TikTok, you don't stop.
Stop.
I wanna sex you up. TikTok, you don't stop.
Stop.
TikTok, you don't stop. Welcome to the end of my career.
98.5, the Sports Hub. That was Jack Edwards doing a little bit of the want to sex you up over there.
That was our segment, New Jack Edwards.
Yeah, he was the guy with the pirate shirt that really didn't sing that much. Well, John Wallach knows two things. One is 90210. He knows everything there is to know about 90210.
Mm-hmm.
The fat guy from the Keg House.
Bunce.
Okay. Who got blackballed?
It was Steve Sanders at one point, correct?
They tried to blackball
Mike,
him.
What's the guy's last name? He was the president of the Keg House.
That's
got blackballed,
right. Yeah.
Because he was outed. Brandon and Steve were headed towards a Dodgers game. The car broke down. They wandered into a bar. It turned out to be a gay bar, and they saw the president of the Keg House, Mike. That's going to bother me. I can't remember his last name, but that was the impetus for all of this.
Right, that's indeed. And Rob Chuba, my friend, who one time was a, or not a friend of mine anymore, but we fell out of touch, was roommates with Mario Lopez, involved in that Keg House blackball.
Really?
Where they decide not to. You know, no lines.
Interesting.
Not sure he was.
He was sitting in the room when they dropped the ping pong balls in.
Did
he really?
Yes,
good
indeed.
For him.
And that was like huge news around the high school.
Wow.
We had just gotten out of high school, and there he was, moved out to California.
Any acting roles after that?
I'm unaware. You could IMDb Rob Chuba and see if something comes up.
So those are the two things that you're a savant at knowing knowledge of. It would be 90210 and your love of all things early 90s, late 80s, sexy R&B.
Wallach's got a gap tooth since his youth. Fuzzy eyebrows that are huge. Collects cards and dice, but to my surprise, sexy R&B is his vice. John Wallach likes statistics,
probability.
He likes the VIP and VORP. John Wallach likes statistics,
probability.
He's a gigantic dork.
All right, so let's do it. Let's right. test the man's knowledge.
All right,
of
all right,
sexy R&B. Okay, what was the best concert you went to during that era? Because you used to see all these people
now,
live.
Would you go with girls or would you go with...
No, I went with guys.
What would you wear? What would you wear to like the
kind of
Casey mostly, and JoJo show?
No, I didn't go to that one. Let's see. There was... All right. There was Shalimar. There was Midnight Star. This is all on one bill. All on one bill.
Did they end with dancing in the sheets?
Yeah, no, actually, they did.
Believe it or not, they did. Something else.
There was...
What soundtrack was that? Was that Beverly Hills Cop?
No. Dancing in the Sheets was Footloose.
No, it was.
Dancing in the Sheets was definitely Footloose.
I'm not
the first
going
one.
To doubt John Wallach.
You can
I'm
go look
gonna,
it up.
Okay, I'm not going to doubt.
Here's
you.
The deal. There were four
what
people.
What else were they invented with? they did Born to Run.
No. Shalimar, there was Second Time Around. There was Dead Giveaway. You can look this up. Second Time Around. That was old school Shalimar.
All right. That was classic Shalimar.
But no, the opening group that night was Climax. KLY. M-A-X-X.
Right.
Yeah, they had a song called When the Men All Pause, but that's something else entirely.
When the Men All Pause.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So it's about menopause?
I guess so.
Sounds like a sexy song.
And Kool & the Gang. Kool & the Gang was the headliner.
No rubbers. Kool & the Gang. I'm going to bang it out.
That's right.
I can't get pregnant.
Yeah. Now, I've told you, I went to a big rap show at used to be
Houdini,
the Providence. Run DMC, Houdini, and the Fat Boys.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
The Fat Boys, maybe the worst rap group of all time.
Well, I mean, are you going to say that? I mean, they were amazing actors in The Disorderlies.
That's right.
I don't know if you were a big fan of that movie. I know I was. And they made musical magic when they hooked up with the Beach Boys to do the cover of Wipeout.
Oh, man.
You know?
Remember that. Yeah.
Stick 'em. That's what I like to say. Yeah. All right. So I will give you I will play you a clip
okay.
of a sexy R&B song from around that era, and you just have to identify the artist. Now, I'm going to start off with an easy one.
Okay.
This is it.
give me some good love. Somebody rocking, knocking double.
Is that that's not Casey and JoJo, is it?
No.
Why don't I not know? I'm drawing a blank. Oh. It is very easy. I can't remember.
It's very easy.
See, I wouldn't have known the artist. I knew this song.
No, I know the song. I can't think of the...
Ooh.
Oh, this is going to bother me. I can't remember the artist. I'm completely drawing a blank. I know the song.
If I gave you the first letter, H.
I'm not. It's not coming to me. It's as embarrassing as hell.
H-Town. H-Town.
No, I wouldn't. I
wow.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was a hit. You would get that.
No, that's easy. Huge hit.
I can't believe I missed that.
All right.
Oh, well, knocking the boots.
All right. Yeah. Let's see if you can redeem yourself.
Okay.
Here's track number two.
By the way, there's a tribe called Questline that says,
I know.
Now let's knock the boots like the group H-Town.
I know.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Kissing Game. High Five.
High Five.
Yep.
Do they have any other hits? Not that I would know if you were lying.
No, I don't think so. Oddly enough, no.
All right, how did you hear these songs? Were you locked into, like, I mean, you're from Boston. I can't imagine the urban radio was...
I don't know what to tell you.
like, where did you come across these songs?
Went down the Color Me Bad rabbit hole, I guess. I don't know.
So Color Me Bad introduced you into the world.
I don't know.
They were a gateway drug.
There you go.
To R&B.
Right.
The sexy music of the 90s.
Did you, like, envision yourself as being, like, a seductor, like, guy that was going to, like, finesse chicks in that?
I envisioned myself as a lot of things back in those days, and I whiffed. Tremendously.
Well, everyone does. You try different personalities, but was there, you were going to be like Smooth Wallach? Like,
yeah, that's right.
Well, nerdy white guys could kind of ease their way into that group. I mean, take a look at like All for One. There was a nerdy white guy.
No,
in that.
Right, no. All for One,
98 Degrees.
One was a major mistake. All for One is like, you could have ridden the coattails of all those boy bands, and they gave up. Like, All for One, they did,
I Can Love You Like That. Was that their hit?
Yes.
Okay.
And they had that, like, ugly fat guy.
Yeah, it was a huge fat guy, and then it was just, like, a bunch of dudes. Like,
everyone was ugly. Like, and All for One, in fact, I just saw All for One, like, on MTV Classic.
Did you really?
Yeah. Okay. And I watched, the song's terrible, but I watched the entire song because I'm like, who put this group together? Like, this is supposed to appeal to teenage girls?
Okay. By the way, somebody is very upset with you because they said High Five had a massive hit. She's playing hard to get. They said, you better walk.
Okay.
That was such a massive hit.
Okay.
I don't even know what to it. I mean, it's part of my youth.
All right, John Wallach.
Yes.
Which sexy R&B artist is this?
You know you want my love, baby.
I'm not getting it. I can't believe I can't get this. I know the song. I just can't think of the artist.
Honestly,
this isn't Keith Sweat, is it?
Very good.
It is Keith Sweat. Okay.
Johnny Wallgang.
He's playing a casino, like, very soon. It was in the paper. I get the Sunday Globe, and there was, like, a little thing. Keith Sweat's playing, like, you know, the main, like, the casino floor of some place.
Okay.
Well, I can't believe he's still out there.
I wonder if he just started eating.
No. He's, you know, he looks young.
Okay.
He's in good shape.
We have somebody on the phone that we have to speak to.
Okay, so you were John Jr. Now, are you insinuating that you are you're the offspring of John Wallach?
Yes, I called in a couple months ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's interesting. In my research, I didn't come across this about you, John. This is weird because this must be what you've been listening to when you conceived me.
Really? Well, there were a lot of nights where I struck out.
Were you born with a satin robe on?
I'm not sure. I was adopted. Okay. I'm sure
you So you're saying before John's first failed marriage.
That was somebody else that I conned into.
John Jr.
I think that we all had. I think it all, at least I did too, is that at one point I envision being an adult like that was like a huge seductive guy,
right?
That would finesse the lady.
Satin robe, candles, velour everywhere.
Yes,
sure.
Yes,
right.
Yes. All right. Well, speaking of that, who is this artist?
Oh God, please!
Oh, it's Sonny Gill. It's Sonny Gill.
Rub
Me the Right. This isn't the best version of the song.
I never listened to this stuff, I knew this song.
There's another version of this that's way better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it like a sexier version?
Oh, no, that's Wrap My Body Tight. I'm sorry, wrong song.
Johnny Gill went on to do what?
Well, he was a new addition after Bobby Brown left, right?
That's right.
I don't know.
They got it. They got even sexier.
No, but I think he did the new addition before he did the solo stuff here.
Friday night, Keith Sweat is playing in Lincoln, Rhode Island.
Oh,
wow.
All right. Twin River.
Yeah, very nice.
All these people are probably on tour together.
because they all need a part of the gate.
They do. Yes. All right, you got three more, John.
You don't get gate at Twin River Casino.
I'm sorry.
You get free penny slots for an hour.
This one has like 100 million downloads. So if you don't know this, let's take a listen.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, Bird.
You don't know this?
No, I don't know the artist.
I think this guy was on Parks and Recreation.
Okay,
someone else help me.
Bird, who is it? Bird's going nuts in the other room. Who is it?
Genuine Pony.
How did Bird know this and you didn't know
because he was even on Parks and Recreation. He was a character doing My Pony.
Genuine is So Patient is the one that I remember. That's a slower song.
Wait, so you remember?
I don't remember that. I don't remember. I can't believe I'm missing this.
You don't remember My Pony?
Of course I remember My Pony. I just don't. The artist is killing me. I can't believe
Genuine.
I forgot the artist. Of course. G-I-N, right?
Yes, of course.
G-I-N-U. Mm-hmm. W-I-N-E.
No, yes, please. John, come on. You disappoint me.
I disappoint myself.
All right, if you hit these last two, then I will consider this a success.
Fair enough.
Name this artist.
These are all easy as hell, and I'm just not getting it.
By the way, a big selling point of these guys were that they were willing to use their mouths.
Well, that was like what Marvin Sees' big thing was.
Yeah, it's like, a lot of people like in hip-hop weren't.
Yeah, it was like, no, it was a no-no. And then
I'll get you anywhere.
That's right. I brought the mouthwash.
Wait, I can't think of it. I don't know.
John, this is a huge failure.
I know.
John,
it's a massive hit.
Silk. Thank you. All right. Save yourself.
Christ.
All right, then. Save yourself with this final one.
No, this is not Jesus Christ.
I can't believe I'm failing miserably at this.
Even though he was, if you read Leviticus, he was a big fan of
That's right. Silk 316.
Yes, indeed.
So, let's take a listen.
Thou shalt always lay down the ladies.
All right, here we go. Here's the final one for you, John.
Oh, please, come on.
Oh, it's Tony. That's what I got.
This is a good song, too.
Yeah. Is this a video where all the girls jump up on stage and they have to be let off by security?
They were also on Saturday Night Live.
That's right. Tony was not good.
This isn't good.
This was their only hit, right? Did they have another one?
No, they had a little run there.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I think when sexy R&B like hit its peak was when the first Bone Thugs and Harmony album came out. Because I found that hysterical. Because I just
but
started
the first Bone Thugs album is fantastic.
That's what I'm talking about. I said it was
and
great.
Are you joking? The original version of the song you're thinking of was not like what came out. There's nothing sexy about Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Of course, it was like, oh,
the first song is called More Murder, Come Again, More Murder.
I don't know if it's the first album. All I know is I started working at a record store in a predominantly like hip hop type
black area.
Like 80% of the albums we sold were hip hop albums.
Yeah,
well, and I remember I showed up and like people would come and go, y'all got a bone?
Yeah,
excuse me.
Bone Thugs and Harmony were about the furthest thing from a seductive group. First of all, they were...
It was these R&B songs with hardcore lyrics. It was like the greatest thing ever.
They didn't have R&B songs at all. You're thinking of just the one... Boom, 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 boom. No, they... Mr. Ouija would tell them to kill.
Right.
Is what they would do. And
the music was like slow and like seductive, and they would sing.
Fred's
right about this. Fred is right about this.
I might be misremembering, but I could have sworn that was.
And all they said was they constantly said, take no shorts and take no losses. No, yeah.
You wear the crushed velour with. No.
In fact, it's very, very off. Now tell me what you're going to do. That was like the heartfelt one. And then when they made the video for it, Eazy-E had just died. So the Eazy-E was in the sky.
But I don't remember that. But
I used to know all the words to Mo Murder.
Really?
Land of the Heartless coming up daily. Gonna murder, blah, blah, blah. Murder that boss, murder that baby. Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Hey, Mr. Ouija. And they'd sit around with Mr. Ouija, and he'd be like, kill.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Felger and Maz, a hit show, and there's no doubt about it. We just played a promo where Maz called Brady a fraud. I don't know if there's another place on the planet that uses the word fraud more. It's the most annoying thing on the planet. You're a fraud. And this isn't directed at Maserati. This is just in general. It's God, is that annoying. You're a fraud.
Yeah, and people misuse it, too.
They misuse it constantly.
Yeah,
It's the most annoying thing. Is this something that's going on nationally that I'm missing? Because it seems to be hyper-local.
No, I don't know anywhere else other than Boston, and it's used here all the time.
It's used here constantly.
And it's used for, I mean, I guess in the way that Tony Maz just used it, it kind of makes sense. Like, the definition of fraud makes sense, because he's talking about Tom Brady said something 3 years ago, well, and now he's
Tom Brady. Tom Brady has said in the past
how important these OTAs are
and how...
Yeah.
You know, it's good for building the team and all that.
But, like, somebody will, like, say, you know, I think that the Celtics are going to win this series. And then if they don't, somebody goes, you're a fraud. Like, that doesn't really make sense.
No, it just...
it's like, all right.
It's becoming maybe the most annoying word in the planet. It's replacing fridge.
Should we have a retirement? Should we retire certain words? A list of words that need to be retired?
No, just fraud.
Just fraud?
Just fraud.
Hack?
No, because people are hacks. I'm not retiring. Hack.
Okay.
No, hack is a term that is relevant. Fraud, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. It's so annoying now. And it's weird how a word starts going around and then everyone starts using it.
Well, I mean, you know, you're robots. You hear something and, oh, I'm programmed to say those words.
Yeah, it's really, really annoying. You're a fraud. And it's about the most, like, mundane crap. And this is, again, not about Maserati. If in a vacuum, the Maserati thing is...
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Right.
But in non-vacuum terms, it drives me insane. You're a fraud. And where was the last time that word was popular? Like, in 1920? I'll tell you, Rockefeller's a regular fraud.
I don't know. I mean...
Warren G. Harding... was a fraud.
Some guy on the beat with a scoop, well, the word scoop written on his hat.
It's like a Cliff Clavin thing.
This guy's a fraud, I tell you. I ought to pound you.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. It's that Howard Hughes is a fraud. He was going to come tell you he's going to ride the Spruce Goose, a wood airplane. I'm telling you that he's urinating in bottles and hiding them around the house.
Those are all facts about Howard Hughes, by the way.
Yeah, I saw the movie The Aviator. Yep.
I never saw The Aviator.
It wasn't bad.
How much do they focus on urinating in bottles?
Tons. There's actually a lot of it at the end. He's peeing in bottles all over the place.
That's what I would like to see.
Mm-hmm. They actually show him urinating.
Why is he peeing in bottles?
Because
he wouldn't leave.
He wouldn't leave his house. He became
toilets in the house?
I think he was like actually in a suite in Vegas.
There's no toilet
when he was
in
doing
the suite.
That. Like, he locked himself in a suite
at
one of the hotels in Vegas and wouldn't leave and just started peeing in bottles all over the room.
But yeah. There are toilets in... never mind.
He took a page out of
Yes, Larry Flint. We appreciate that. Yeah.
So, failure. Yes. So, yes, I cannot stand that word fraud anymore. And now I refuse to be friends with anyone who says it.
Somebody said the word sneaky needs to be retired. Like someone is sneaky fast.
But that's just stupid. But fraud is so overused and so dumb, I can't take it anymore.
Somebody said, I live in Northern California. I listen to 98.5. It's literally the only place I hear fraud is on the station. Yeah, I think you could probably. Somebody said, can we get rid of stood on his head? No, it's a fine term.
I don't hear it all the time.
No, that's
all I hear is fraud. And fraud about, like, the most benign garbage.
Somebody says Bob Ryan was the guy who started using the term fraud and it caught on. That would explain why it sounds from the 20s. Yeah.
Bob Ryan's columns are pretty funny now. He's like,
back in my day.
I used to watch the talkies.
I read it. I like Bob Ryan.
I love Bob Ryan.
But
No one tweets an ampersand sign better than him.
No,
in the
that's
middle of the night.
You're confusing him with Gannon.
No, no, no. Bob Ryan's up there, too.
Yeah, is he really?
They got a battle of the pocket tweets.
Yeah, he don't understand it. But his last article, which I actually read in the Sunday paper, was like, what's changed? And he goes over all four major sports. What's changed? And then he goes and asks the people what's changed. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Fred?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to give you some kudos. The past couple of rants that you went on the past few days, and so what I've been wanting to say to the masses all along, Grateful Dead sucks. I'm glad you brought that up and ranted on it. And the biggest thing was those damn Disney teenage shows. I mean, you're saying what I'm thinking. Like I say, I'm in my 60s, so I think you're a young man in an older man's body.
Yeah, I'm old.
You're a young man in an older man's body.
I think it's the reverse.
No, he's saying that you're younger, but you look older.
No, well, that's true.
Oh, all right.
There's no question about it. My beard has gone completely white. I look very, very old.
You're now Gandalf the White.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting.
As opposed to the gray before the Balrog brought him into the depths of the span.
Now why Gandalf, or whoever the hell you are?
Who cares?
Why?
Because much like this show, you are leader amongst hobbits.
No, but why would the beard, changing colors?
It's because you earned new powers and resources. You were able to take on the Eye of Sauron as you have changed from
Return
Gandalf.
Return of the King
the
was
White.
On last night.
Return
man.
Of the King.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That King, Aragorn, he shall be getting his own spin-off on Netflix. It shall be a failure because Peter Jackson doth not be involved. Please doth continue.
Don't get any of those references.
It's all right. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. No, the thing about the Grateful Dead that I talked about is that ever since that
Grateful Dead, the Ringwraiths have been dead for years. They are not grateful to live a life of pain and suffering and finding the one ring. Beware, Frodo, of the nine fingers and the Ring of Doom. It shall bring you all down to the depths of the Trigomascalia swamp.
No, is Trigomascalia really the swamp?
No, he made
it
that
is
one
not,
up.
That was
he made
kind
that
of
one up.
My brain searching for a word from thy fiend folio from back in the day that my older brothers used to play.
Even I knew that one was
so
wrong.
So if you get the fiend folio out, if I open the fiend folio,
the spells shall fly out and the room shall spin.
Okay, so if I open the fiend folio,
yes, it has a very scary skeleton on the front with a sword, looking very much like the Iron Maiden Eddie character.
Now, okay,
they
so
should have sued them.
If I open up the fiend folio,
yes.
What am I confronted with?
A gelatinous cube. Beware, you must be a level 8 paladin in order to defeat it. Roll the 48 side and die. So anything less than a 20 and you shall reach your doom.
I am supposed to be afraid of a gelatinous cube?
Gelatinous? It's not like an ordinary gelatinous cube. This is a murderous one.
Kind of like
no, but a
from
cube,
the darkest depths of Mordor.
But it's a cube.
No.
It's a mean pile of jello, yes.
So all right, John, calm down. So does the cube move?
It just shakes a lot and hypnotizes you with its jiggly movements.
Is the person that endorses it being charged with heinous sex crimes?
Yes, he is. He's, do not eat the pudding pop, for you doth know what chemicals are in it.
Okay, so the gelatinous
you
cube
shall reach eternal sleep.
So the gelatinous cube, does it move, or I just walk into it?
If you are clumsy, you shall fall on your chain mail. Perhaps maybe a level 8 paladin should leave his dumb battle axe at thy feet and you just fall into the cube.
Because
not a very effective beast.
So if I'm the dungeon master, couldn't I come up with any better villain?
But it's gelatinous.
No, I understand. Is that because there's a good chance that your mom has just made you jello?
I think it was just the book was written by a fat guy and he was hungry.
Well, jello is not necessarily the most fattening thing in the world.
The carnivorous Twinkie.
Okay, now that I understand.
It's a Twinkie that loves eats meat.
Okay.
Including thy meat off your bones. Much like a ravenous dragon.
Because everything I hear about this gelatinous cube, every time someone references Dungeons and Dragons, it's very confusing.
Not a very effective beast, no. Not in the least bit.
It's not scary at all. It's just not scary.
It's just kind of there.
It's kind of and you can't get out of it? How come you can't get out?
Well, you probably could if you just like pushed a little. It's not very effective.
You just gave up.
Pretty much. And, you know, sometimes a dwarf is kind of tired and you just kind of stay there.
And now, how many dwarves are involved in the game of Dungeons and Dragons?
There doth be piles of dwarfs. Beware Gimli, this toughest of the lot. He is trying to get back the gold from Smaug.
All right. Well, gold from Smaug.
Smaug!
All right.
Not Smaug, as mispronounced by the layman.
Okay.
It be Smaug.
All right. Very interesting. All the villains that inhabit the universe of Dungeons & Dragons. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not going to be there for the start of Phase 3 of the Patriots offseason program, which is the OTAs. And again, he has been a regular participant in OTAs, the third phase, in other seasons. Just not this one. He's not going to be there. Rob Gronkowski, I don't believe, is going to be there today. At some point, I think he's back there working out with the team. But we don't know when Tom Brady is going to be back with this team. And again, the fact that he's not there, I think it's fair to wonder, why is he not there?
Right, it's
he's healthy.
Normal.
It's a strange situation. There's been a lot of grumblings, a lot of murmurs, a lot of whispering that he could be unhappy with certain situations there. He's going to be there when it counts. He's going to be there when it matters. So in the grand scheme of things, is it a huge deal? No, but I think it's a red flag that says all is not perfectly well.
985 The Sports Over Toucher and Rich. Well, if it's not a huge deal,
then why is it a red flag? He just completely contradicted himself in the last sentence.
And what is a huge deal? I mean, is it a huge deal in that like they're not going to be a Super Bowl contender? No, but it further. It's so funny when you go to the Wickersham article that pointed out all the dysfunction in the organization and how Super Pats fans just went crazy and you're a fraud. And then you start with that, and then, you know, that was dismissed, and then other things are dismissed. But obviously, Tom Brady's incredibly unhappy. We talked to Breer. This isn't about money. This is about what's perceived as a lack of respect. And if you don't think he believes that this doesn't matter, he's gone on record on several occasions talking about how important it is to be there at OTAs and how, all right, what do you got in front of you?
Yeah, I do. He said back in 2013 or 16, he said, you thank God it's just another OTA in the springtime and it's not that important and all those things could probably enter your mind. But the truth is this lays the foundation for the start of training camp. If you have a good training camp, it usually means a good start to the season. And a good start to the season leads to a good position entering the second half of the season, which leads to a good playoff. So everything ends up having some significance to it. And do you remember also another thing that we just recently were playing? Remember the first episode of Tom versus Time where he said, if you're going to go up against me, you better be willing to give up your life for this sport because right. I've given up mine. And then how the attitude completely changed by the end of it after they lost the Super Bowl, it was like, well, now I need to spend more time with my family. So, I mean, this is something that, at least in what he has been saying publicly, the attitude's completely shifted. And you could probably just point at what happened with the Super Bowl and all the Guerrero stuff and, you know, the Malcolm Butler benching. I think you just are done with that. And you're like, I need to get away. And I'm starting to think that what he did after the Super Bowl was done as he looked to his family, he said, I'm not going to do anything that's not mandatory. I'll show up to every mandatory practice, but if it's not, I'm just not going to do it. As much as I've done it before, this is the commitment I'm making to you. This is the commitment I'm making to myself.
And there was a massive miscalculation by the Krafts to be so quick to side with Brady. And obviously, there's so much evidence there. Belichick was pissed off. That's why he gave Garoppolo away for nothing. So that hurt the team. And now there's no incentive for Brady to take part in anything, and he's pissed off at Belichick and the organization. Or Belichick, I mean, you can't be pissed at the Krafts. I have no idea what he'd be pissed at them about, considering they completely sided with them.
Other than the fact that I think that from everything I've read, and I think Jeff Howe even said this, it might be a situation with Tom Brady where, you know, he said that he would be opened up to restructuring his contract. Right now, he's going to be the 22nd highest paid quarterback. So obviously, he's looking around and going, why can't I get paid? But according to Jeff Howe, he says this might be a situation of him just waiting for the Krafts to make the first move.
and they have yet to do so.
I don't think this is about money.
Well, it's part of it. It's definitely part of it, and it has to. Put it this way: even if they promise Guerrero to come back, he's not going to cooperate until he gets paid as well.
I think it's ancillary fallout. I mean, it's one of the things he's upset about Guerrero. He's upset about taking less money and doing all these things, and then maybe being hamstrung by Belichick for not playing Malcolm Butler and giving his team the best chance to win. If you decide not to take as much money, you sell out for the team, and then the coach makes what is perceived by you as something that stabs you in the back and limits your opportunity to win. Offense was not the problem in the Super Bowl. Defense was. Belichick could have solved that by putting a very good player, I mean, theoretically, a very good player on the field.
I think it goes beyond that. If you look at the social media posts whenever anyone left and that he supported all these guys, it's obviously not the Super Bowl. It's goes beyond the Super Bowl. It goes way beyond money. I mean, if he's concerned about money, I guarantee you it's because he's pissed off about everything else.
Well, one thing that seemed to be confirmed yesterday, you know, we had Burt Breer on, and he mentioned that he speculated that the situation with Rob Gronkowski was what seemed to have been endorsed yesterday by a guy named James Palmer from the NFL Network. He said that a contract restructure with Rob Gronkowski is being worked on. And he said if it has incentives like last year per NFL rules, it can't be done until May 24th, which is Thursday. Is that right?
Yes.
Which is 1 year from when he restructured his last deal. That's a date to keep an eye on. So what Bert was saying when we had him on yesterday was this for Rob Gronkowski might be all about he made an agreement. Remember, he spoke with the coach. He tweeted that out and put that on his Instagram, and everything seemed to be fine. But he wants to wait until everything is in writing to protect himself physically. It's not a dumb idea. No. Until he can actually get the stuff written in ink.
Yeah, Gronkowski's not the story.
But people are still wondering why he's not there. But it sounds like as of Thursday, the Patriots are going to restructure his contract officially, and he'll be back.
Fair enough. The story is Brady. And the story is why that throughout his career, he didn't let anything interfere with this kind of stuff, and now he is. And he's obviously unhappy.
All right. OTA, off-season workouts, yesterday, today, Thursday, there's an OTA. There's a workout on Thursday. So you'd figure, because May 24th is the one-year anniversary, maybe Gronk shows up on Thursday.
Sure. Gronkowski,
signs
again,
the new deal in the
story.
Morning, is on the field with his team.
He is not the story. The story is Tom Brady. And the idea that the organization can do nothing. Because they can't get rid of Brady, and they can't get rid of Belichick. So if they're at an impasse, there's nothing that the organization can do. You know, people talk about, well, the Krafts have to get involved. There's nothing the Krafts can do at this point.
Doesn't this kind of take the shine off the organization as a whole? I mean, the thing about the Patriots was because Brady was a foot soldier and stayed in line, everyone else had to stay in line with him. Now you have Brady not showing up to organized team activities. You have Gronkowski not holding out really, but you know, waiting until he's taken care of. It doesn't make the organization nearly as special as it has been for 15 years. And you look at it and go, wow. I mean, Belichick and Kraft have it figured out. Now this organization is more like every other organization that has to deal with all this crap.
And if you looked at it nationally and there was a quarterback that was under contract and they weren't showing up for team activities, if it was Roethlisberger, I mean, people would be, oh, you know, Ben's all about himself and, you know, he can't make up his mind. I mean, Brady's under contract, and he's not. I mean, he doesn't have to show up, but this has been his MO for the entire time. It's a big deal, and it keeps getting more and more. It keeps getting deeper, more and more that goes on, and again, someday a book will come out because some stuff's going on that we're not aware of. It's gotten serious. It's a serious situation. Does it mean that they won't make the Super Bowl? No, but does it bode well for the future of the franchise past this year? No.
Or does it bode well for Belichick being here? Because I think that that's the guy who's more than likely would be the odd man out in all of this.
Well, he would have to leave because they can't fire him.
Would love to know when the end of his contract is.
I thought it was two more years, but I could be wrong on that.
Nobody knows. Any idea.
That is one of the best kept secrets in the NFL. And every once in a while something will leak out, but it will be kind of like, I think that this is the case.
Yeah.
But
they can't do anything. They can't get rid of Belichick. They certainly will not get rid of Brady.
I'll say this, though. As much as people love Tom Brady, and you have every reason to, he's the greatest of all time. If his team comes out of the box and Brady doesn't look good, they're going to point back to this. fans are going to, like, at least the court of public opinion and the fans are going to say, something's changed with Brady. His commitment isn't there what it used to be. And they're going to point back to him not doing the OTAs. Now, whether that's fair or not, it doesn't matter. That is what is going to be used as the, I told you so, his commitment is gone. He's not what he used to be.
And Andy's been working out with receivers. I mean, he's been in California and he's worked out with receivers. I mean, he's trying to make a point. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Johnny Wall Games got news over here on the old Super Bowl.
This from ProFootballTalk.com this morning. Mike Florio posted this earlier this morning. The owners' meeting's going on this week. I believe it's in Atlanta. Arizona and New Orleans are expected to get the next two Super Bowls that are open for bid. Super Bowls 57 and 58. I think we're on now.
Okay.
57 and 58 in 2023 and 2024. But right after that, Las Vegas is expected to get one of the next two, either 59 or 60. And Florio goes on to say that once they hold a Super Bowl in Las Vegas, the anticipation is it will be back there once every 4 or 5 years. And they're beginning to set up a Super Bowl rotation. Arizona and New Orleans will get the next two. And the theory is, because L.A., I think, is 3 or 4 years out, there's going to be a rotation of 4 or 5 cities in the future.
That they'll just keep going to.
Right. It'll be L.A., Vegas, Miami looks to be the third one, and then after they renovate the Superdome, New Orleans will be fourth. So they'll pretty much keep going back to those 4 cities.
I love
it. And once every 5 or 6 years, they'll throw in another city like Arizona.
I absolutely love it because, A, it's a warm weather climate. B, it's a big city. There's a lot of stuff to do in each one of those situations. There's obviously culture in all of them. But I think that this Minneapolis Super Bowl ruined it for every other cold weather Super Bowl. I think people got there and it was so freaking cold. Remember that one day we walked across the street and it was...
the day we got there. The hotel was, what, 500 yards from the mall?
But it was a minus 12 without the wind chill.
Something like
and
that.
And I think it was close to minus 30 with it.
We got about halfway there and both of us, Rich and I, realized what a gigantic mistake that was.
There's not one person I talked to who went there as just a fan. And yeah. I spoke with a couple people. Who said that they really enjoyed their time in Minneapolis. And boy, they did everything they could to try to make you feel nice. That was, you know.
No, they didn't. They had everyone in a mall.
Well, that was their big thing because that's all they got. I mean,
Minneapolis is a bigger city than New Orleans, certainly, and they could have had people downtown and they didn't do it. They put everyone at the mall, and I have no idea why they did that. It was
because they have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles roller coaster.
That's right. It's like you want to put their best foot forward as a city and you have everyone 20 miles outside of the city.
They ruined it.
It was ridiculous.
Think of the two cities that were cold weather cities that had a Super Bowl. So you had the one in Minneapolis, which was miserable. If you went there, there's nobody went there and said, well, I can't wait to go back to Minneapolis in January and February. And then think of New York. Now, you remember the New York Super Bowl, if that thing would have ended an hour later than it did, there was that gigantic blizzard that happened that, remember, shut down like all the transportation to and from the stadium?
The next morning, yeah.
The next morning. I mean, it was an absolute cluster.
Atlanta had a Super Bowl that had an ice storm. I mean, you can't predict.
That's different because Dallas there's too, less of it, but there's way but less of a chance of it happening in a warm. Well, Dallas effed it up because they didn't have seats ready. Like, they,
well,
remember
no,
that?
There was also horrible weather.
Well,
at that
and
point.
They didn't and have any of the transportation
far,
and
the
utilities
from
to fix
the city.
It.
Yeah.
What's interesting is,
well, they're not on the rotation anymore.
No, it does not look that way.
What's different, the only city in a cold climate that no one complains about is a little city by the name of Detroit.
Indianapolis wasn't bad either.
No, Indianapolis was not bad. But, no one complains about Indianapolis, and no one complains about that Detroit one when they played at Ford Field.
So you said L.A.?
L.A.
Vegas.
Now, again, they still have to build those two stadiums. L.A., Vegas.
I do like, well, I said something off the air. He's like, you know, with Vegas, the only problem is they have to plan this pretty far out because they need to make sure they have
this
enough
rooms. This is from Florio,
right.
not from me.
Not from you. Yeah, you said that Florio said that they had to make sure that there's enough room for rooms out there in Vegas for people to actually come to the Super Bowl. And I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I think like 6 of the top 10 largest hotels in the world are in Las. They're going to have enough rooms for however many, 70,000 people.
The three are definitely, and this is looking forward 7 or 8 years when they start this thing, the three are definitely L.A., Vegas, and Miami.
And then put in New Orleans.
And then
put in New Orleans.
Well, as I said, New Orleans and Arizona are kind of 4A and 4B.
Yeah, pop that in Arizona.
You don't need
dump.
Arizona.
Yeah, that stupid dump. Yeah, good. Arizona's so great. Yeah, that's what, I'd rather have it be in Minneapolis every year other than Arizona. Arizona's a cesspool of garbage. Oh. Why Arizona? Arizona
warm,
sucks.
Warm
See,
weather.
You wouldn't have minded Arizona if we were staying right next to the convention center.
I would have minded Arizona in every way, shape, or form. Arizona is one of the worst places I've ever been to in my life.
I like Arizona. I don't have
fine.
A problem.
You
with
like it. I don't.
That it's was more a of a time zone thing for you, though, right?
It was everything. That's a hellhole.
That and the strip club up the street from the hotel.
You know, I never got to go to it. No commercials here, just the headlines.